Well, things have been a little bit different this morning, haven't they? We are so glad to have our fourth and fifth graders and middle school and high school students here. Thanks, guys, for being with us. Some of you got moved out of your normal seat, and you're still not happy. We're shaking things up. And with our cafe seats out, we're going to have food that's grab and go outside, at least until it rains. It doesn't rain in Arizona, hardly ever, except when we do something outside. The reason we did all this today is because we want to remember and celebrate what really matters together. And this is one of my favorite quotes. It really gets to the point of this. The quote goes like this. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Sounds so easy. You know, quotes are really easy. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Now, what's the main thing? That's the real question. You got to get that right before you figure out how to keep it the main thing. And I believe that Jesus actually tells us what the main thing is. This is the answer Jesus, if we were to ask Jesus, what's the main thing? This is the answer not only he would give, this is the answer he gave. Here's the answer Jesus gives. Here's the main thing. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. That's found in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, which, by the way, is also our public Wi-Fi password. If you're looking for the password, there it is, right there, okay? That's the main thing. That's why Jesus came. He came for that reason. That's what he's passionate about. That's his purpose. That's what he's all about. And whatever is the main thing for Jesus has to be our main thing as well. Now, Jesus used the word lost. He said he came to seek and save that which was lost. And we need to be really clear. When he uses that word, he doesn't mean that in any way as a put down. In fact, he means to use that word with the deepest compassion that's possible. When Jesus uses the word lost, this is what he's referring to. He's talking about folks who've lost their way to God, lost their way with God. He's talking about people who maybe just got distracted and forgot about God, or maybe were just disconnected with God for whatever reason. Maybe they really messed up bad and feel so much guilt and shame for what they did. They feel like God is angry with them and they can't approach him, they think. Or maybe they bought a lie. The lie that he doesn't exist or that he's not good or that he's not trustworthy. There's lots of reasons why people are lost. And what Jesus is saying is that he came for one reason, to look for those folks who are disconnected with God and to help them re-engage or to connect maybe for the very first time with God. That's what he's all about. And his main thing has to be our main thing. And that main thing is what drives me. If you want to know why I'm the pastor I am, why I lead the way I do, it's all about this. It's all about how do we reach those folks who are disconnected from God. That's my passion as well. I more than anything, I want to have an opportunity to share this amazing, incredible news about Jesus with anybody who doesn't know that news and hasn't experienced how good Jesus is. It shapes all the decisions I make. It shapes how I teach on Sunday. When I teach, I absolutely want to teach to those of you who already know Jesus. I want you to know the Bible better. And most of all, I want you to obey it. I want you to do what it says. But I'm also always going to teach to those who could be lost. I want them to understand what God is saying in his word. I'm going to intentionally do that every week. So I make sure that I'm addressing those folks that maybe don't know the words and the stories in the Bible like many of us know those words. I want to speak in a way that makes sense to them. When you bring a guest, I want you to know that I'm going to speak in a way that that guest could actually understand what we're talking about. So I'm going to use words, illustrations, ideas that not just people who are familiar with church get, but with those who maybe have never been to church before. In the last 12 months that led up to June this past summer, the 12 months leading up to June, 326 people were helped to find faith and made the decision to be baptized. That's amazing. And then from July till now, another 92 people have made that decision to follow Jesus. We want to reach people who are lost. And the main thing of Jesus is what forms our mission. Our mission is what we as a church actually do and engage in. And I want you to say our mission with us. We're going to put it on the screen here. Say it with me. Loving people to Jesus, launching passionate people to make a difference. That's what we're called to do, all of us. Every one of us here, those of you who are in our fourth and fifth grade, those in middle school and high school, adults, this is what we are called to do, to love. That's the action. To seek the best for others, to serve others, to care for others, to love people to Jesus. We want to launch passionate people to make a difference. We want to go to where those folks are, because they're not always going to come here. We want to go to wherever they are to love them, to serve them, especially those who are disconnected from God, because we want to make a difference. We want to make a difference now, in this world, in this life, and for eternity, for life that never ends. And so Luke chapter 19, verse 10, that is the main thing. It's the main thing to seek and save the lost. Now, here's what's interesting. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 is actually the conclusion to a story. And so I want us to go back and see what got us to that conclusion, that main thing. Well, what happened there that led us to that? So I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 19. Turn on your device, Luke chapter 19. The Bible's in the seats in front of you. It's page 717, page 717. Those of you with us live online, we've got the link there for you as well. Luke chapter 19, we're going to start in the very first verse. Luke 19, verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, interesting, he couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran ahead, climbed the sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. So Jesus comes through Jericho. Jericho is just a short distance from Jerusalem, and was maybe walking down one of the narrow paths through the town. And there's so many people this short guy can't see. So he figures out Jesus maybe can only go one direction. So he goes ahead, gets up in a tree so he can see Jesus. But I think we miss the real part of this story. We focus on him climbing this tree so he can see Jesus, but the real message of this story is that Jesus is looking for him. Because when Jesus comes there, there's all this crowd of people. He could have stopped and talked to anyone, but he looks for this lost man named Zacchaeus. He looks up to him and says, "I need to spend time with you." That lost man was Zacchaeus. Maybe today that's you. Maybe you're a Zacchaeus. Maybe you feel like there's a distance between you and God. And what I want you to know is that Jesus is looking for you. He's always been looking for you. So Jesus goes to this home. But I want you to look what happens at verse 7. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." So these Jewish people, they knew who Zacchaeus was. And they're going, "No way. There's no way Jesus is going to go to his house." You see, not only is Zacchaeus lost, he's got a bad reputation. Not just a sinner, he's actually a thief. He's the chief tax collector. Tax collectors were Jews who were employed by the Romans to collect taxes from the Jews, and that was bad enough. But what we know is that the tax collectors always collected more than they were required by the Romans, and Zacchaeus is the chief tax collector. He's in charge of all the tax collectors, so he's the guy on top of a pyramid scheme. There's nothing new under the sun. That's why he's wealthy. He's getting all that extra from all the other tax collectors, and the people hate him. He's the worst kind. He's the kind of guy that would not be welcome in their synagogues in that day. He's the kind of guy that wouldn't be welcome in many churches today. And maybe you feel that way also. And maybe you came today and you go, I don't know if I belong here. And I want you to know, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're here. We honor you. It's not about getting it all right. It's about what you're looking for. And if you're looking to figure out who Jesus is, we are so grateful that you're here. So Zacchaeus, this rich man, he's hated, he's alone, he's distant from God. But let's keep reading. Verse 8, Luke 19:8. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Zacchaeus encountered Jesus. When he encountered Jesus, he encountered two things in Jesus: unconditional love and truth. Both. And the unconditional love of Jesus and the truth that Jesus spoke changed him. That's exactly what Jesus does. His love, his truth, it changes people. It dramatically changed people. And in this case, Zacchaeus says, "I want to start fresh. I want to be a different person. I'll take half of what I have. I'm gonna serve the poor, and I'll repay anybody that I've cheated." He starts over. He's beginning a new life. He's transformed. What he does is a picture of repentance. Incredible picture of repentance. He found new life. He found new hope. He once was lost, but now he's found Jesus, and he's found a new way to live. He's a changed man. That's the main thing for Jesus. He wants to reach those who are disconnected from God, that they might experience the love and the truth of God, to experience a change which makes a difference in this life. Zacchaeus was making a difference right then and now, right? He says, right now it's going to change. And for eternity, Jesus said, salvation has come to this house. That's what Jesus wants for all of us. That's the main thing, to help people find and experience faith and live out that faith. That's our mission. And we have to make room for people to experience Jesus in that way. And I'm so grateful to be a part of a church, this church, where so many of you get this. This isn't like strange teaching, like we've never heard this before. You want to reach people who need God. And the reason I know that is because you bring people here who are seeking God, who are wanting to figure out who Jesus is, who want to be a part of a healthy, dynamic church. You're inviting others to come. Now, I understand that inviting someone to church isn't the only way somebody can come to faith. It's not the only way somebody can find Jesus, but it is one of the most natural and common ways, and you're using that as a way to help introduce people to Jesus, and I just want to say thank you for inviting people. Thank you. They're coming. Because I see it. You might have noticed before services, I love to go through the auditorium, and when we have the cafe there, I'll go through the cafe. Why am I doing that? I'm an extrovert, yes. But I'm looking for people who are guests. I'm looking for visitors who might be lost. I make sure that I go over to Starting Point after every service. For those of you who don't know, Starting Point is where you can go to figure out how to get connected here, how to take your next step, wherever that next step is for you. And I go there because that's where our visitors and our guests come, and I want to meet them. And here's what I tell you. Everyone I meet, whether they're here in the auditorium, they're in our courts, they're over at Starting Point, I always ask this question. I say, how did you happen to come today? Or how did you come to visit Pantano? And almost every single one of them says they were invited by one of you. Constantly. And because you're inviting people, new folks are coming. I want to just show you a little information. I want to compare the first 9 months of 2017 with the first 9 months of 2018. So from January to September 2017, our adult attendance grew 7%, our children attendance grew 5%, our middle school growth 32%. Yay! But, there's always a but. Our high school dropped 40%. Now, why did that happen? This is a simple answer. What we did in 2017 during that time is that we moved middle school from one service, 9 o'clock, to three services, 9, 11, and 1. And so we gave them more opportunities. They came. We had room for them. We moved high school to Sunday night, and it dropped 50%. Then we moved them back up to 1 o'clock, not the most ideal time, and so it was only 40% loss. So we realized that didn't work. So here's what happened the first 9 months of this year, 2018. Adults again grew 7%. Children again grew 5%. Middle school dropped 7%. That's right. What happened? But high school went up 9%. Why? Because what we did this year is we brought high school and middle school together all 3 hours. So that worked better for the high school, up 9%, but middle school said, we're not sure we like this. We're not sure we want to share our time with high school students. It wasn't, and by the way, if you go over to our student center, not today because they're all here, but normally it's standing room only, it's crowded. So here's the point of all of this. we've been out of space for a while, and we tried to fix it by some program changes. The program changes didn't work. We tried, it didn't work. Our student center is packed. We don't have room for more. It's not ideal to have middle school and high school together. They ought to have their own service with their own unique teaching and leaders. And so we've got to build to make space. And to be honest, I put off building as long as I could. We tried the program changes. I'm frugal. I wanted to see if we could fix it another way. It's not going to work that way. And what's absolutely clear is that we need room for more students and for children. Our children are also growing, and they're also out of space. God is doing something incredible here. He's doing something very, very special. We've experienced phenomenal growth over the last 3 years. I mentioned hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people are experiencing faith and life change. On Sundays, on our campus, just on our campus, we're averaging 2,000 adults. Right here on our campus on Sundays, we're averaging 250 students, 520 kids. And online, we're averaging 714 adults every Sunday morning, which is a total of 3,500 people. We have lots of space for adults. We don't have enough space for our children and our students. And one of the questions is, why the growth? The answer is absolutely God. God's doing something. We cooperate with God, but it's ultimately God who is working in people's lives, oftentimes long before they ever come on this campus. But I also know that God will use and trust any church that really is healthy, that really keeps Jesus the center of everything, a church that really wants to welcome people who are disconnected from God. And so that's why this has been happening. Why do people come and stay? Why do people make the commitment to follow Jesus, become disciples of Jesus? I want to just share with you some of the things that you all have told me. Because I say, why are you here? Why have you stayed? How has Pantano helped you? And these are the things that you consistently tell me. You told me that Pantano is a place of grace. This is a place where you don't have to pretend to be somebody you're not. You've heard me say it before. You don't have to come here and put on a church face and pretend. This is a place where we are all able to be real and authentic. And when I say all, that means myself, our pastors, our leaders, our elders. We can all be real and authentic here. And you told me that Pantano is a place where not only are you welcomed, but you can actually connect with other people. We have lots of ways that we can help you in practical ways grow in your faith, and you've said that this is what has attracted you here. You've told me that what you love about Pantano and why you're a part of what we do here is because we are focused not on ourselves as a church, but we're focused on our community. We're focused out there. We're focused on people who aren't yet a part of Pantano. And we're committed to our community making a difference now, and we're committed to people making a difference for eternity. And so that's part of our mission. Remember, we just said it, launching passionate people. And that's what we do. We have launched and continue to launch our staff, our volunteers, our leaders. We have just in the last year helped over a dozen other churches and organizations by actually sending staff and volunteers to help those churches and organizations. We've helped restart some churches that were dying with people from our church helping them. We want to give people away. And we also give money away. We operate on a fiscal year, which ends the end of June. And last year, ending in June of this year, Pantano gave away $712,000. I love that. That's to local ministries, international ministries, helping other churches and organizations. We gave away that much money. But I saved the two most important for last. You tell me this all the time. Not only do you love that we love the Bible and teach the Bible, but you love that we make it understandable so that we can actually apply it in our lives. And then the most important of all, we keep Jesus the center of everything. He is the main thing. And we never want to in any way move from that. Jesus is the main thing. He alone, Jesus alone gives us life. He shows us how to live well. He leads us to life that never ends. It's only through Jesus that we're going to experience eternal life. And so I don't want to miss this moment. I want to invite you to a life-giving relationship with Jesus. If you are one of those folks that's just struggled connecting with God, been distant, had some things that you've really wrestled with in your life, and now you're ready for something different, man, I encourage you to seriously consider looking to Jesus and saying yes to Jesus. Choosing to follow him in his ways. And we want to help you with that. And so if you're at that place and you want some help, you could talk to anybody that's around you. They would love to help you. Or come on over to Starting Point. Starting Point is room number one off our outdoor courtyard. And after service, come on over there and we would be glad to help you in that journey to discovering who Jesus is. I don't want to let anything hinder us from reaching people. So to reach more, we have to make room for more. To reach more, we have to make room for more. We need room for our children. We need room for our students. Absolutely. And so where we're at right now is that we've got to be able to build. If we're going to reach the emerging generations, children, students, and their families, we've got to have space. And so we're doing everything we can to do that. You saw earlier, we've added Christine Lee as our middle school pastor. Now she's helping us with that. That's going to allow Brian Lucas, our student pastor, to focus more on high school so that we can continue to reach. And they are reaching into the schools, the high schools and middle schools that were there. Our students and staff want to reach more students, so we have to make room for more. And I want you to meet Kristen Bish.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us, Kristen. The fan club. Now, the students are cheering because Kristen is in high school. She's at Tancredi High School, and so she's a part of our high school ministry, and she also serves in our middle school ministry as one of our leaders. Isn't that cool? She's serving in both areas. Thank you. Yeah. Kristen, you shared with me that you'd had a life-changing experience last year at two of our camps, our high school camp and at one of our kids' camps. Tell us a little bit about what happened and what your experience was at those camps.
Yeah, so the summer of 2017 is when I really got serious about my relationship with Jesus. And prior to that, I'd been coming to church here at Pantano for about 3 years. And I was volunteering in children's ministry at the time with fourth and fifth graders. Mm. And so I was helping with some of the summer day events, and Nikki Stoll asked me if I would be a leader for fourth and fifth grade camp. And I didn't really know what to do, but for some reason I said yes, and that was one of the best decisions I've ever made. And so high school camp that year was the week right before middle school camp. So that was my first time going to that also. And it was just so cool to have the opportunity to be with people who my age who were just so passionate about Jesus. And that was the first time I'd really spent a long period of time with people my age who loved Jesus. So it was just incredible to see that they had this passion inside of them. And then after that we hit camp, I kind of had the thought pondering in my mind, like maybe I should be living a little bit differently. Maybe my priorities should be different, like I'm watching my peers have. And that idea was really confirmed at fourth and fifth grade camp, because these girls, fourth and fifth grade girls, were sharing their lives with me and opening up to me about things that I couldn't even imagine going through. And I just had words of wisdom and support and advice to give them, and I knew that that was not coming from me, but it had to be coming from God. And that was the first time I realized that God can work through, he's working through me and can do great things like for other people through my life. And that was really the moment that I decided that I need to like work on loving people and change my priorities in my life. And that was the moment that changed that for me.
I love it. That's why camp is so important. Yeah. So at high school camp, you experienced that real change and transformation. You wanted to live differently. And then you got to immediately put it into practice being with the fourth and fifth graders at camp. I love how that worked out. So you now have owned your own faith. It's real. You made the decision that you want to be different and you want to make a difference. So share with us about how you're now involved with making a difference with other students.
Right now, I'm the secretary of 412 Youth, which is the Bible club at my school. And as a leader in our club, I help teach and run meetings, and then I also lead a small group, and we break into small groups. And as a club, we meet every Monday at lunch, and then about two or three times a quarter, we will have rallies, and then once in April, we have an outreach week. And for these rallies, we have a free food, and we usually have about twice as many people come because people pretty much do, high schoolers especially, will do anything for some free food.
Just say to high schoolers, pizza!
Yeah, so we usually have twice as many people come, and it's just an incredible opportunity for them to hear about Jesus, because maybe they don't have the chance to hear about him at their own home, or they have certain circumstances. Like last year, we had 25 people who were gave their lives to Jesus at the end of our outreach week.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and it's just incredible to see Jesus moving in their lives, because 18% of people who, 25%, I can't think of numbers. 94% of people who have a relationship with Jesus first met him when they were under the age of 18. So I think that just shows how important it is that our high schoolers and middle schoolers have a place to call home and a place to go and be loved.
Yeah, 94% of people who make a decision to follow Jesus do so before the age of 18. That was me. That's you.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why that age is so critical. And Kristen didn't tell you, but the outreach they did last spring, her high school has about 500 students. 250 of them came to those events. Half the high school came to them, got an opportunity to hear. Great job. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing at your high school. We love it. You get it. We're so thrilled. Thank you so much, Kristen. Thanks. She gets it. She gets the main thing. And she's not alone. We have other students, and we have some of our own staff that we're in right now, a half a dozen high schools and middle schools able to work. There is an openness on our campuses. Two of our middle schools have Bible clubs, and they said, you can't have the Bible club on school unless your youth pastor is there. What a day. Used to be the opposite. We have incredible opportunities to reach students, but we also have to have room for them, because to reach more, we have to make room for more. It's absolutely essential. So our next step is to build a student center, to build a student building. We're calling it the Student Union. It's going to be a priority space for our students. And we're going to have some pictures there on the slide. You get to see some of what we're looking at. We're going to build a 13,000 square foot building. It's called a sprung structure. A sprung structure has an aluminum frame, a very strong aluminum frame, and then it's got an outer membrane that's over the outside. It's highly insulated, R30 insulation. It's actually got two membranes, one on the outside, one on the inside. And what's cool about that is that membrane is maintenance free, meaning we never have to paint it. It'll match the colors of our other buildings, but we'll never have to paint it. And you say, well, how long will it last? Actually, those membranes are lasting longer than a traditional shingle roof. And when it comes time to replace that, which will be eventually, it's the same price as a shingle roof. And so we've got all of those years of no maintenance, and it's very durable and very, it's incredible. But what's more important isn't the outside. It's what's inside. What's inside will be two high quality venues with stage, lighting, sound for our students. One side will be high school, one side will be middle school on Sundays, all 3 hours on Sundays. Yay! They're going, yeah! And then what that does for us is when they are able to move into the new student union, then we're going to move our fourth and fifth graders into what is currently the student center. Yeah! You get your own place, which will make more room in our kids' zone for the rest of our kids. That'll take care of all the critical needs that we have right now. And when you came in, you got this brochure. If you didn't get one, grab one on the way out. On the front of it is the website, Room for More. You can go on there and see the full video. You got to see part of it at the beginning of my message. And all the information is there on the website. And then also, if you want to be able to show others that 3D tour through the building, you can get a 3D virtual tour on your app. Here's the information on the screen. To download the app, text GO to that phone, to that number there, and then enter the word Pantano, and you'll, with your smartphone, you'll actually be able to tour through that. Wherever you see a door, it'll have a dot on it. Push the dot, and it'll take you into the next room. It's really cool. You can share it with others who aren't here today, and just tell them what's happening here at Pantano. We need to get this up as soon as possible. We need room for more right now. The cost of that building for everything, including furnishings and light and sound and all of that, will be about $2 million. We've already saved the money that we've used to pay for the architect's fees, the drawings, the permitting, and all of that. And folks have already begun to give. We've already collected about 10% of that. So we got 90% to go. We're on our way to get there. The reason that we've got to do this is lost people matter. That's the main thing. It's people that matter. So we have taken out a loan so we can get this started now. We can't wait for another year or two. The needs are right now. But here's the deal. I want to pay that loan off by the day that we have open house. We anticipate occupying that facility in March, Lord willing, no hiccups, March of 2019. And that gives us a few months to get there, and I want us to be able to pay all of that off. I don't want to carry any debt for this going forward. And I believe together we can do this. We can do this. But we need everyone to participate. We've all got to participate. If we're going to pay it off by March, I need everybody to do whatever they can do to make a difference. Some of you, not all of you, but some of you are going to be able to make a large gift. By large gift, I'm talking $25,000, $10,000. And I'm just asking you to prayerfully consider that. And some of you are saying, there's no way, of course. Maybe you're on a fixed income. Maybe you're in Financial Peace University right now and you're just getting out of debt. Yay! But we can all do something. We can all do something. Maybe it's giving up Starbucks from now until March. We're going to have a lot of cranky people. Or eating out. Or if you really are committed, cable, give up cable. Because there's nothing on. There's nothing on there worth watching. Except the Cats did win last night. You know, maybe you can give a large lump sum, or maybe it's giving just something every week or every month. And be creative. You could be creative. We had one lady who's on a fixed income, and now she's not able to drive, so she said, you can have my car. So we were able to sell her car and put the money towards it. So, yeah. Someone else is thinking about giving some gold, and if you have stock, we can help you actually convert that and get a credit for that. And or maybe you're a subcontractor, and you could bid some of the work at or near cost. There's lots of ways to do this. The point is that if we all are involved, we can get this done. All of us can pray. I'm asking you to pray. And if you'd like to be, we actually are forming a prayer team. Wendell Harris, one of our elders, is forming a prayer team over this. And if you'd like to be a part of that, just go to Launching Point, room number 3 off the courtyard, and you can connect there and be a part of that team. But we can all pray whether we're part of that team or not, praying that God will get this up, that we'll be able to raise all of the money so that we don't have to carry any debt with this, and that we can continue to reach lost people. And then I'd ask you to prayerfully consider how you can be involved and you can be a part of this. The point is this. If to reach more, we got to make room for more. Roger Blumenthal, who's our executive pastor, and I will be at Launching Point, room number 3. We'll have plans, more detailed plans, if you want to look at those. Or if you have any questions, come on over and we'd be glad to talk with you over there. But the main thing is this. This is what the main thing is for Jesus. And this has to be our main thing. How do we reach people who are disconnected from God? How do we reach people like Zacchaeus, who need God to change their lives and transform their lives? And so please consider how you can give and invest to make a difference as we reach students, kids, and families. So what I'm gonna do right now is I'm gonna dismiss our 4th and 5th graders. So everybody stay seated, adults do not move, parents do not move. We're gonna let them go back to their classroom because parents, you need to pick up your kids at your classroom so we can do proper checkout, okay? So we're gonna let the 4th and 5th graders, go ahead, stand up guys, go, get moving. Thank you for being a part of this. And together let's stand and we're going to sing.